You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio. Now, very recently, the winner was announced for the 2026 Carnegie Medal for Writing, one of the most prestigious prizes for writing in the UK. And we're delighted here at RNIB Connect Radio to say this year's winner of 2026 is visually impaired author Beth O'Brien for her novel Wolf Siren. As far as I can tell, Beth is the first visually impaired author to win the prize. And as the book has both a visually impaired author and the audio version has a visually impaired narrator, RNIB Talking Books and Read On were very early champions of this book. Here's a short clip as read by Niamh Longford.
I was 9 and I'd slipped away from my village because the smell of warm rain hung around longer in the trees. But as my mother always told me, I shouldn't have been there at all. I was focused on the ground, watching it beneath my feet carefully. The earth was stodgy and it gave way slightly with every step I took. I knew that if I was to trip and fall, I'd be covered in mud and mother would be furious. So I only looked up when a gnarled branch reached down and tapped my shoulder. What is it? The sunlight bounced off the glossy wet leaves like sparkles in a brook, and I squinted through the glistening haze. I have never been able to see well. I don't know how the trees know this, but they often draw my attention to things I might otherwise miss. The branch tapped my shoulder again. A wizened twig stretched out like a finger, and I stared around through the shifting light. The woods seemed more alive after the rain, as though the very air was releasing a sigh of pleasure. But there was something else there too, a feeling that was much harder to identify.
Visually impaired narrator Niamh Longford reading from the Carnegie Medal-winning book Wolf Siren. Beth was on Read On a couple of weeks ago talking about her new book, but here she is, almost a year ago, when Wolf Siren launched.
So I was born with a severe visual impairment, and I have a long list of conditions that, quite honestly, I never remember all of the names. But essentially, I see light and some colour in my right eye, but not much vision at all. And then in my left eye, I have slightly more vision, but a very narrow field of vision, not very good distance vision. So, yeah, I describe my vision as I see mostly out of like the lower right-hand corner of my left eye. And the rest of it is just sort of a nice blur of whatever I guess it might be. So Wolf Siren is the first novel I've ever written, and it all sort of began because I found myself wondering why Little Red Riding Hood doesn't actually recognise that her grandmother's been replaced by a wolf when she goes to visit her in her cottage. And I was studying creative writing at the time, and we were doing a lot of work on fairy tale retellings, and I was specifically interested in disability representation. And all of these thoughts sort of came together for me to think, oh my gosh, that would be such an interesting way of interpreting Red Riding Hood as potentially a partially sighted person. And as someone who is an avid reader / audiobooker, then I began to think that I actually don't know many books that show visual impairment as a sort of partial way of seeing. Often in literature, blindness is total, that characters have no vision whatsoever, which isn't my experience, and I know it isn't the experience of the majority of people who are visually impaired. So it began from there. It's a loose Red Riding Hood retelling, so it features many familiar elements from the traditional story, such as the red coat, there are wolves, there's a grandmother in the woods. But I very much set it up as like the woods are a forbidden place where Red, my main character, isn't meant to go, but she is far too rebellious to abide by that rule and frequently sneaks off there. There's lots of magic and mystery and secrets that slowly unravel and cause her a lot of trouble. But yeah, that's more or less where it sort of came from and why I wrote it.
I saw blurs of greens and browns, greys and blacks, but nothing that stood out. So instead, I tried the trick I'd been using for as long as I could remember, and I stayed still. I waited. The movement that caught my attention was steady and assured. Not the panicked flight of a bird or some small mammal diving into the undergrowth. I watched the grey shape, and for the briefest moment, I was sure it was a wolf. My heart leapt with a thrill that could have been either joy or fear. I remained quite still and told myself to be rational. For one thing, the wolves only ever attacked the men. For another, there hadn't been an attack since I was 4 years old. But I always tried to avoid thinking about that day. It was the first time I saw my mother cry, and the last time I saw my father alive. Father was one of many men to be taken by the wolves. Where once our village had been famous for its lucrative wolf fur trade, courtesy of our skilled hunters, soon it was associated with nothing but violent attacks. No matter how many men the mayor conscripted to try and keep the wolves at bay, our losses continued to mount up. Shortly after my father's death, the mayor was forced to admit defeat, disband the hunters entirely, and forbid all men and boys from entering the woods.
She's certainly more feisty and feminist than the original Red Riding Hood.
Yeah, but even in the original, one of the things I thought about was how Red Riding Hood's mother is very insistent she takes one path through the woods. But actually then Red Riding Hood doesn't do that. She strays from it and talks to the wolf. And in some versions, she is very much punished for that, aka gobbled up. But in others, she is a bit more rebellious. And I really love what there's one Italian version where she gets to her grandmother's house and Red Riding Hood realizes something's up and pretends to need the toilet in order to escape. And the wolf doesn't want to let her go. But eventually he agrees because she says, "I have to go big, not little." And then he lets her go. She goes outside to the privy and then just runs till she gets home safe and sound. So actually there are some early versions of the story where she does use her own initiative to escape some pretty risky situations. But yeah, mine, I think I ramped up the maybe environmental aspect and the feminist aspect and the disability aspect of the traditional scale, maybe up to 100, and then wrote my book.
Thanks to Carnegie Medal winning writer Beth O'Brien. And congratulations from Read On, from R&IB Talking Books, and everyone at R&IB.